Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. On today's call, we're going to talk about 7 ways to deal with regret. You know, there's 7 kinds, actually. I'm going to reference some personal experiences, starting with about 21 years ago. That's when I began calling my mom and dad almost every day. I might have missed 1 or 2 days a month, but those occasions would be rare. And then my father went to be in heaven on October 18th, 2020. But for the past 11 years, we've lived within a 3-minute drive from mom and dad before he passed. You know, my father was known by most folks as Mr. Harold. He'd had a 5-way bypass at the time we were living in Fort Worth, and I was traveling extensively for the Debt Free Army. Now, the great news is that one of his doctors, one time after his surgery, said it appeared that my dad had a new heart. There came a defining moment when I realized I never wanted to live with regret should I no longer be able to talk to either my parents when I wanted to. So I began to make the calls. They were a blessing not only for my parents, but for me as well. There are times when we fail to do something which was within our power to do, only to live in regret for what we didn't do. Regret is a backward look and is most often carried around as a huge weight upon the emotional shoulders of the one dealing with it. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to get it down inside of you. Maybe even write it down. Regret can be the result of something beyond your control. Yep. Regret can be the result of something beyond your control. Huge tree limb falls on your house. During a hurricane, tornado, severe thunderstorm, you regret it happened, but you couldn't stop it. Sometimes regret is caused when somebody else does something stupid. A driver pulls out in front of your oncoming vehicle and you're involved in an accident. As a result, you have to deal with medical bills, your physical recovery from injuries, or dealing with the financial issues from the accident. Regret can also be internal, as such as where you regret something you did or didn't do with the family or on the job. Internal regret often produces, if I only had done this kind of a mentality. If I'd only done this kind of mentality. So let's talk about 7 kinds of regret and how to deal with them. Number 1, emotional baggage. Unfortunately, emotional baggage from a person's youth brings a lot of emotional scars, including mental, sexual abuse, harmful words of ridicule spoken by friends or family, things a teacher may have said. Unfortunately, there are so many possible scenarios where people are hurt, not only by actions in childhood, but by words as well. On our journey through life, each of us may make choices. We decide whether or not to take an emotional baggage with us. For some, the baggage of the past, well, it's a prime target in future conversations, to the point where negative experiences are relived again and again. It's imperative that each of us stop rehearsing our hurts. A couple of suggestions on how to deal with emotional baggage. First, write out what happened in the past. When you finish, lay your hands on the paper and say this prayer. Heavenly Father, your word instructs us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all our cares on you. So today, I've listed all the emotional baggage and hurts from my past. I'm now casting these cares on you. I ask for the healing balm of your presence to heal the scars of the past hurts, even removing them from my memory. Father, I thank you for a fresh start and how to care, how you care for me. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you've prayed this prayer, get a match and safely burn the sheet of paper with a listing of your emotional baggage as the sacrifice of what you've given to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, Classic Amplified Bible. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. 2, half-heartedness. An introspective look on your life will no doubt reveal times when you did less than your best on the job, in your family life, or just in general. Doing things half-heartedly will cause you to live with regret over missed opportunities. 2 Chronicles 25:2, New American Standard Bible. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. Wow. There are people who become born again, but yet fail to live in the potential of the Word or in their authority as a child of God. On their deathbeds, people do not regret not having worked more at their office, but they do regret not spending more time, quality time, with their families. Some people regret that they never really tapped into the Word of God and serving the Lord the way they now wish they had. Serving God with your whole heart means putting him first in every decision you make. Serving God with your whole heart means following his instructions in the Word. Serving God with your whole heart means taking every opportunity to share the love of Christ with those who need to feel his compassion. Serving God with your whole heart means that you don't have to make excuses about what you did or didn't do. Serving God with your whole heart means you don't have to live with regret. Revelation 3:16 in the New International Version. But since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. When you do something half-hearted, it's being lukewarm. And that's not a thing to do, a good thing to do, unless you want to be a spitball Christian. Yeah. 3, deliberately hurting someone. Deliberately hurting someone. If you grew up in a home environment where you were deliberately embarrassed by your dad, ridiculed by your mother, or taunted by your brothers and sisters, you understand pain, no question. If as a child it seemed you could never do anything right, and others got the praise for the things you did right, I have 3 words for you. Get over it. Get over it. By the way, March 9th was National Get Over It Day. Amazing. Now, having said that, frequently as adults, unless we had a born-again experience with a continual renewing of our minds and emotions, we're going to repeat the mistakes of our past in dealing with our children and those we love. Some people subconsciously feel the only way they can master and or control the situation is by belittling others in some cases or being physically or mentally abusive. Ephesians 4:31-32, Classic Amplified, both identify the problem and provide the spiritual solution at the same time. The verses say, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Number four, missed opportunities. Sometimes missed opportunities are through no fault of your own. Things just happen and it leaves you with regret. Man calls God to have regrets. Genesis 6, 6 and 7, classic Amplified. And Lord regretted that he'd made man on the earth, and he was grieved at heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, wipe away mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth. Not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air. For it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. Man was given the perfect environment, perfect place to live, perfect lifestyle. Hey, he even had the perfect wife. But yet, when sin entered the environment, things change. The actions of men cause God to regret. The prophet had regrets at the decision he'd made. 1 Samuel 15:11, classic Amplified. I regret making Saul king, for he's turned his back from me, from following me, and has not performed my commands. And Samuel was grieved and angry with Saul, and he cried to the Lord all night. The point is, sometimes godly opportunities will be missed not only because of what you did or didn't do, but also because what others will do. I'm enjoying this teaching. We're going to finish it on tomorrow's call. Continue to pray for my fine wife, Beth. Hopefully she'll be coming home from the hospital today, if not tomorrow. And continue to lift up my buddy Lawrence Cook as he gets stronger. And always say a blessing for my mom, Miss Annie Ruth, the 95-year-old sweetheart. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. Hallelujah.